Well, we're coming to the end of this particular series that we've done on the Holy Spirit. And over the weeks, we've looked at something of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And I think I've said before, we've really only been scratching the surface. There's so much more for us all to look through. And we've looked at his impact on our lives. We've looked at the potential for our lives through the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And finally, we're going to look today at how we live the Spirit-filled life. I don't have a magic formula to set before you today, just some thoughts. I'm sure, again, there is so much more. Matthew 3, verse 11 says this. It was John the Baptist who said these words. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. You notice that Jesus' intention with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire is to clean us out, to make us pure and holy. This is being sanctified, and it's a lifelong work to make us more like Jesus. But God says, be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. You can't stay the same and receive all that the Holy Spirit has to offer. So how do we get there? Three short points. I'm not going to be long today, but you know, if I apply what I'm saying to you this morning into my life, it could be dynamic for me and it could be dynamic for you as well. First of all, I need a desire for more. Too many people want to be saved from hell. They've got a fear, they don't want to go to hell, and they want to be saved from hell and have that ticket to heaven to be sure of where they're going. But that's not what it means to be in Christ. That's only part of what it means to be in Christ and he in me. The whole purpose of the Bible is to reveal God to us, that we might have communion with him, which is eternal life. Jesus said it in John 17, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. And the last few years before COVID, we went, Eddie and I and gangs of others, went to Turkey on holiday, and we went 3 years on the run. And the first year, it was kind of a small package. It was just for a week. And it was a tour, so you got every day you were going here, there, and everywhere. And the basic package included your flights and this tour and your breakfast, but nothing else. And you could add on to the package to get your evening meal as well, if you like. But it was a week. And so we added in a little bit extra so we didn't have to look for meals. At the second year we went, it was a bigger package. It was 2 weeks. And this time, because we'd come back from 1 week in the first year, and we were absolutely exhausted because it was every day you're out on that coach from the crack of dawn, that the second year they offered 2 weeks. And it was the tour at the beginning and your breakfast, but the second week was just a week off in a hotel. And then you could add all-inclusive. Well, we added it all because it was so reasonable. But we had such a fabulous time. It made such a difference to do everything in the first week and to have the food and to have see all the places and then to have this real chill out where everything was included. We could have a drink whenever we wanted. We could have food whenever we wanted. And we could do what we wanted. And it was amazing. And we all came back feeling totally refreshed. And it was amazing. And you know, we can stop so short sometimes of the package we have in the Lord. We can take a little bit from the beginning. And it's half a commitment. And it doesn't bless. It robs you of greater joy. It robs you of greater blessing. And it robs you of the greater reward. When you take on board the whole thing, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You can try and play compromise with God and pick up those little bits that you might fancy. And you can make your Christian walk on your own terms, but it doesn't work. You might call yourself a Christian, but you won't always look like one and you won't always act like one. We're in danger if we imagine that because we've believed, because we've come to him in the first place, that being sanctified is automatic and it will be just added along the way. Have I got a desire for more? Have you got a desire for more of God and more of his Holy Spirit? The second thing is, we need a desire to change. It doesn't matter how much of the truth of God I know, if I'm not willing to apply it in my life, it serves no purpose. Absolutely no purpose. If I want to hang on to the old habits, I'll produce the same old results. That's the way it works. I need a willingness to do battle with my old ways of thinking and acting. How will the fruit of the Spirit be seen in me if my old habits are still there? How can I possibly show what God wants? If I want the greater experience, I need to apply what I believe, and then I'll receive it. What I believe. When I read the Bible, it mustn't be in a general sense. It must be very specific. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great Bible scholar, said this: if I don't read my Bible in such a way as to come to a deeper knowledge of the greatness and holiness of God, there's something wrong in my reading. And the same is true if my reading of the Bible doesn't humble me and bring me to my knees. It shouldn't be a quick 10 minutes for a daily reading. I need to understand what is being said in that passage. I need to understand about a God who is utterly holy and great, because the more I understand that, then the more I'll have a desire to change. It says in Isaiah 6, and it was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I've filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and he said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." First came the deeper knowledge of the greatness and the holiness of God. Then came the sense of Isaiah's own shortcomings and a desire to be clean. When we read God's word, when we understand how great and how holy he is, we understand our position. We understand our own shortcomings, and we have more of a desire to change, to be clean. And then after the cleansing came the call in that last verse. Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." When I read the Bible, I need to apply it to my life. I need to look over my day and see what I've done. Have you ever done that at the end of the day? See what you've done. Look at how you've triumphed in that day, the things you've got the better of, and look at how you've failed. I need to talk to myself about me. Then I need to talk to myself about the cross. I need to remind myself that for those failures that I felt I had in that day, there is his precious blood. There is forgiveness and there's cleansing. Am I living in the light of these things that I'm reading? Romans 8 says this, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Put to death the deeds of the sinful nature. Do I have a desire to change? Do I have a desire to be more like Jesus? And thirdly, we need a desire to shine. Romans 12:11 says, "Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit and serve the Lord." I learnt that as a young person. Most of the Bible readings that I learnt along the way, I learnt out of the Revised Standard Version that I used to use at that time. And it's supposed to be quite an accurate translation. And it touched my heart when I first read it as a young person. "Lord, be aglow with the Spirit." That sounds like something amazing to achieve. But when I was reading up for today, I noticed that the New Living Translation, which I often use, and the NIV, they don't have this idea of burning with the Spirit. So I was really a bit disappointed when I looked at those translations. So I went back to the Greek, and it says this in the Greek interlinear. This is the English translation of it. "In zeal, not slothful. In spirit, burning. The Lord serving." I thought, there it is, that burning, that desire to shine for him, that desire for people to see in me something of Jesus. Philippians 2 says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. We don't have to struggle. God gives us the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. And Jesus said in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." How I look is important. You know, every day when I get up, I think, what am I going to wear today? And you probably will never see me in the same thing 2 days on the run, because I don't like doing that. I'm a bit particular. And then when I've decided what I'm going to wear, I'll choose the jewellery that I think goes with that, because that's the way I'm wired. And I thought to myself, I need to be the same way about how I present as a Christian. How can I shine today, Lord? What is it that I can do that will make a difference for you? What of the old am I still wearing? What should I put on today? When I have a desire to change, I'm putting off. You'll read this in the scriptures quite a bit. Put off this and put on that. Well, when I have a desire to change, I'm putting off. When I have a desire to shine, I'm putting on. And we need to understand. Have you met people who shine, who really shine? You sense the spirit in the room when they come in. I have met some fab people like that. They lift you up completely when they just walk in the room, because they shine for the Lord. You don't feel judged, you feel challenged by the life that they're leading, and you want more of their faith and their walk with the Lord. Do you have a desire to shine? Over the years, there have been various moves of God, moves of the Spirit, which have brought men to their knees in tears and in repentance, like in the Welsh revivals. There have been moves of the Spirit, of gifts of healings and all kinds of different things. And we are praying for a move of the Spirit in this area. We want revival. I want to ask you, are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? If we want God to use us in powerful ways, the cleansing comes before the call. I haven't really got any more to say this morning than that. Do you really have a desire for more? Do you have a desire to change? And do you have a desire to shine? I want for us to pray just now. And I'm just going to suggest some things. This isn't an appeal, but it's just a reflection on some of the things that we've thought about. And just to ask yourself where you are at this time. Let's just close our eyes and think just about ourselves. Do you have a desire for more? Are you dissatisfied with living on the dregs of the tank and you want more of God? Do you recognize that you're still holding on to too much baggage from the past? Do you want to clear space in your life for more of the Holy Spirit? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Then he will clean up the threshing area. If you have a desire for more, reach out now and ask him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you have a desire for change? Do you want a deeper knowledge of the greatness and holiness of God? Does your reading of his word bring you to your knees in humility? Are you prepared to put off the old way of life, to leave behind the things God challenges you about? Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips and with it he said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." The cleansing comes before the call. Reach out to him. Do you have a desire to shine, to be aglow with the Spirit, to take the light of that Spirit to shine in dark places, to take the presence of Jesus wherever you go, in zeal, not slothful, in spirit, burning. The Lord serving. Do you have a desire to shine? Reach out now and ask the Lord to fan into flame the gift within you. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't just want to hear your word. We want to apply it in our lives. We want to prepare the way for your Spirit to move in us and through us. Lord, let your fire fall. Come, live in me. All my life, take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings. Amen.